Good evening, Wahoos and fellow ACC sports fans. This is Frank Hobo to my immediate right. We are excited to be on the air tonight. Tough game on Saturday, no two ways about it. Like to say that the Wahoos came through, but it did not happen. They just could not get in gear. The early turnover on the Miles Gooch reception, I felt that set the tone. When the referees in the booth did not overturn that, if you're a Wahoo fan, you knew that it was going to be a tough day. You knew it was going to get even tougher when twice in the first half, Matt Johns scrambled towards the Duke sideline and got hit out of bounds both times. Further, I think it was in the third quarter, Johns dropped back to pass and a blitzing defensive back came in, helmet to chin, face mask, no flag, unbelievable. I don't care what anybody says. They showed it several times on replay. And the sportscaster broadcasting is the color analyst on TV. He said that was helmet to helmet. And, folks, that guy had no dog in the fight. That was not a biased call. And
so what you're saying is
that's 45 yards in penalties and a player that should have been ejected from the game.
Well, I don't know about that, but I mean,
that's the rule. It's not a debatable thing.
It must have been debatable. It wasn't called. But beyond what you're saying is that the Duke football program is now mirroring the Duke basketball program in that they never commit a foul.
Well, certainly Krzyzewski never saw a Blue Devil ever commit a foul, did he?
Absolutely not.
I'm not saying that. I think Cutcliffe is a
– pure as the wind-driven snow.
Okay. Cutcliffe is a terrific coach. Nothing to take away. I thought his – halftime analysis, his comments was spot on, and it turned out to be true. He said the game might very well come down to a kicking game, an execution, and it certainly did. I'd just take extreme disappointment in those officials who are ACC officials. When your quarterback is scrambling out of bounds and he's getting hit 3 to 4 yards out of bounds, I don't care if it's in the Duke bench area. You got to throw that flag. You got to protect the player. But worst of all, right in the center of the field, Johns threw that pass. The ball was away. Number 28, I think, or 23 for Duke came in flying, and his helmet went right into Johns' face mask, and he split Johns' chin. Yeah, and Johns was down on the field for a long time. London and Fairchild and one of the other coaches, They were out on the field, and that referee, he knows that he jobbed us. It's that simple.
Well, regardless of that, I mean, you know, it's
outcome,
still...
Listen, the outcome is the outcome, Jim. You always say that, but you know what?
Well, we only scored 3 points in the second half.
Listen,
now maybe if we got some flags, it could have made a difference in that. But in college football these days, it's hard to win a game when you only score 13 and you only score 3 in the second half following a 10-10 halftime tie.
Listen,
but you're right. I mean, Duke's football program, you have to give Coach Cut credit. I mean, his teams are well prepared. They play well. The Crowder kid is really good. And they just
Virginia,
they made a few more plays than we did.
Virginia kept him under control. And just so you know, on people making plays, Virginia had more first downs. They outgained Duke on their field. And those penalties would have extended drives. That's my – and, you know, when a player knows he can get away with that, that means they can chase all the way through the sideline, and that changes things, and it's a form of intimidation is what it is, Jim. You didn't play football, I can tell you flat out, if somebody hits you when you're out of bounds, I played flanker and running back in high school, and if you get hit when you're out of bounds, you naturally let up a little bit because you're not expecting to get hit out of bounds. So I'm off that high horse on that. But as far as the team goes, Virginia has a stronger team. They have better athletes. They should have won the game. I'm hacked off at Virginia for not playing the area game. And I blame, in this instance, Coach London for not having them ready at the start of the game. They played a pretty lousy first quarter, and they did not come out of halftime and play with the spirit and fire that they needed. They kicked off. Duke drove down the field, and I think, didn't they get a field goal? Yes.
They got a field goal.
Virginia responded with a field goal. But to me, that long drive that Duke had coming out of halftime, the Virginia defense was doing too much bending, and the defensive backs were not up close to the wide receivers defending those short passes. You got to take those short passes away. If they'd done that, Duke's quarterback would have had nothing, because that's the only thing he was able to complete.
Well, he may have not had nothing, but
I think, if you go look at the stats.
He was, what, as a starter, 15-3, 16-3 or something like that. So, obviously, he's been pretty good over the course of the last couple of years.
He's at home. They had a very soft schedule coming into this game.
Well, their schedule gets soft the rest of the way, too. They play Wake Forest. I mean, Duke's certainly in a commanding position to possibly go back to the ACC title game as you look at the rest of their schedule. But
it makes you wonder. In Virginia, playing in the Coastal, had to play Florida State and Louisville this year.
Yeah, I mean,
we have still got to play Florida State on the road.
The schedule gods haven't been kind to Virginia. I don't know exactly how they determine in the ACC office who you play in the other division, because it seems like our Hokie friends haven't played Florida State in several years, and they don't play Clemson this year either. So, as you say, I guess Florida State, Clemson may be the two best teams in the other division, but Louisville's not far behind.
Louisville's gaining.
Yeah.
I got news for you. Louisville is gaining. Very disappointed in the quarterback play.
And why didn't Lambert play? Is he
that
hurt?
That is a huge mystery. It's just a frustrating thing that Lambert didn't get in the game. He practiced this week with the first unit. I think he should have played, and that's a huge mystery that they didn't play him, because they needed this game. All right, so let's shift gears. We have some awesome guests on the show tonight. Aaron Brooks, former UVA star quarterback, beat the Hokies two times as a starter. Name another UVA quarterback that did that, Hobbo.
I think somebody back in the 40s. I don't know.
Time's up. All right. He also was a fourth-round draft pick of the Green Bay Packers, went on to really perform brilliantly when he got traded to the New Orleans Saints and actually took them to the playoffs, which was no small feat back
their
in those days.
Their first playoff win ever, I think.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Playoffs?
Anyway, we've got Aaron on the line. Aaron, are you there?
I am.
Very
I am.
Good.
And Frank, may I add to that, please?
Yes.
I will be getting inducted to the Saints Hall of Fame November 14, 15 weekend. They play the Cincinnati Bengals. So I will be a New Orleans Saints Hall of Famer here shortly.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah, no two ways about it. You deserved it. I watched so many of those games, and you ran for your life. That offensive line, I'm surprised you were able to play as many games as you did, because they – whew. But anyway, that's a fantastic honor, and I know it must make you feel great.
It does. I'm getting pretty excited as time approaches and everything. So it's well deserved, but I didn't do it by myself. You know, I had I had some good linemen. I also had a great running back who was a Saints Hall of Famer, as well as a receiver who went in Hall of Fame as well, Joe Owen. So I didn't do it by myself, but I'm very fortunate, very blessed to be walking away from a game, you know, walking away from the game, you know, without any major injury except a torn pectoral muscle. So,
well, you know, I don't recall you ever having a concussion or one that created headlines. Let me tell you, the quarterback for the 49ers, Steve Young, had a bunch of them. Roger Staubach had a bunch of them. I mean, a lot of quarterbacks had to leave the game because of that. So, let's thank our lucky stars that you didn't suffer from those.
Yeah, it's a tough game. It's a brutal game, man. It's a brutal game. Real brutal.
No. Well, speaking of brutal, let's dial it back to last weekend. I'm calming down now. The Wahoos, I did not think, played anything close to their best football, and the offense only generated 13 points, which is sort of mind-boggling against Duke and the 100th-ranked defense against the rush.
Right.
What are your impressions of the Cavalier offense? And then we're going to talk about the quarterbacks in a minute.
Well, obviously they made tremendous strides from last year. And when we talk about last week game against Duke, I thought there was just missed opportunities. Sometimes you're going to have those in a game, but we had one too many. We missed two bombs. We missed two deep passes. Matt Johns overthrew him twice. That could have made a huge difference. But that's part of the game. And because of those missed opportunities, we didn't play well enough to win as a team. Now, obviously, the defense is playing very, very, very strongly, very well. And, you know, the offense just had some missed opportunities. So, although it was a good game, it was a really good game to watch.
It was a hard-fought, heavily contested game. No arguing that. And the Virginia defense has kept the Wahoos in every game this year, including the UCLA bizarre game. That was the most bizarre game I've ever seen. Three defensive touchdowns, I believe.
Right. Oh, yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen anything like that.
There are some quarterbacks that just don't like to see the ball hit the ground. They want somebody to catch it.
Well, Peyton Manning and Brett Favre and Aaron Brooks
exactly.
And, you know, Johnny Unitas and, you know, Matt Schaub, you know.
Aaron, let me jump in with a quick, you know, the Virginia team, they haven't played as well on the road. You look at the rest of the schedule, they still have to go to Georgia Tech, Florida State, and Virginia Tech, so they got three challenging road games. What's it take to play well enough to win away from home?
Well, obviously, it's a hostile environment, and I think Florida State may be the toughest challenge within those four or five games left because of their fan base, because their crowd, what they're known for, they're very highly ranked, and the student body and the fans are very in tune into the game. Although Georgia Tech is a tough place to play, but it's not as hostile. But what it's really going to take is obviously tremendous focus and understanding of the game plan and execution. And I think if you can execute and play as well as we are capable of playing, we're not just in a game. We have an opportunity to win the game, and we've seen that all year long. We have a lot of seniors on the team that's stepped up throughout the season to put this team in a very, very good position each game in and game out. And so I think that's probably more important as you look down the stretch of these tough games coming up.
Well, you know, you talked about seniors. Clearly, Daquan Romero and Henry Coley and Anthony Harris on defense they've just given everything they've got. On offense, Miles Gooch, a converted quarterback to wide receiver, had arguably his best game on every level and didn't get offensive wide receiver of the week or whatever because he did have unfortunately, that fumble early in the game, which upon review kind of looked like he had his derriere on the ground, which would have meant the play was dead. But, you know.
Frank is having a little issue with the Zebras from the Saturday's game, if you haven't picked up on that.
Yeah, and so does the Notre Dame coach, too.
You know, I looked at that play again, and I think that was a fascinating scenario because they ran that play, Notre Dame did, earlier in the game on the left side of the formation.
Right.
But number 20 and maybe number 6, I think they were the blocking, picking wide receivers.
Yeah.
They peeled away and they sold it. However, on that last play of the game that got flagged, those two receivers put their arms up like they were blocking for a screen pass.
Yeah, the official made the right call. They made the right call.
Hey, Aaron, let's by the way, we're visiting with former star quarterback at Virginia, Aaron Brooks, and soon-to-be New Orleans Saint Hall of Famer. We congratulated Aaron earlier on that. Let's look ahead to Carolina. North Carolina.
They scare me.
All right, hang on just a second. We got to go to break. Frank has reminded me. Will you hang with us through the
sure,
break,
yeah.
And we'll pick
yeah.
up that
oh, yeah.
discussion of Carolina in a moment. All right, you're listening to Who's Talking. Stay with us. We'll be back with Aaron Brooks after these messages.